Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in studio on this Friday as we look forward to something that's going to happen on Monday. We are, starting Monday, not only going to be broadcasting on satellite and terrestrial radio, but we're going to be live streaming the broadcast on the Bible Answer Man Facebook, as well as YouTube and other digital media platforms. And you're going to actually be able to see what's going on during the breaks. So we'll break away for radio, but we'll continue on the digital media platforms. All of that coming up this Monday, Lord willing. We'll have everything in place, and it'll be our maiden voyage. After about 30 years of doing the broadcast, I'm looking forward to melding the broadcast with our digital media platforms. Again, all of that coming up this Monday. So stay tuned for an incredibly exciting week. Also, The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, Stories of Persecution, Flight, Resilience in the Middle East. Knopp points out that the Islamic State's genocide of Christians in the Middle East is well documented. And yet this modern atrocity is often judged less newsworthy than the jihadist destruction of the region's cultural heritage. So what are the roots and the human realities of this unfolding tragedy in the birthplace of three religions? Judaism, Christianity, which ultimately gave a foundation for Islam. Andreas Knopp, again, has written a spellbinding book available for those who support the ministry all this month. You won't be able to put it down. Also, my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, available to those who support the ministry prayerfully and financially. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. In the afterword, I point out that despite its incoherence, the Muslim cult, which is now 1,600,000,000 strong and growing rapidly, it's poised to fill a vacuum left by a culture in the West that is slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. The demographics alone are alarming. While polygamous Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. And filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have little or no intention of assimilating into Western culture. Equally grave, well, it's the specter of global Islamic jihadism, which is exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East. And of course, in The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, you can read about that. But it's not only doing that, it's also exacting ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. These are going to continue to come like the ocean brings forth its waves. In addition to all of this, we have witnessed the co-belligerency of fantastically wealthy Saudis. They are spending billions of dollars exporting virulent Wahhabism to the West. And I think worse yet, Western governments including academic institutions and media outlets, seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. And by the way, I'm coining that phrase, as I do in the book, because that's what it is. It's global Islamic jihadism. So while that serves to underscore the problem, what begs our attention are potential solutions. Some suppose that the solution lies in the aggressive use of Western military power. That might be wholly necessary, but it's hardly sufficient. Nor is the problem ultimately fixed at the ballot box. As with military might, political activism plays a necessary yet an insufficient role. The despotism of militant egalitarianism, radical individualism, multiculturalism, political correctness, religious pluralism, they're not magically redeemed by political victories. And we saw that during the Reagan Revolution, because during that revolution, illiberal liberalism continued to hold sway in educational, entertainment, and environmental industries that create, manipulate, and disseminate ideological constructs that are driving Western civilization in a very, very dangerous direction. So what is the solution? As I point out in my book, the only real solution, the only real solace to a disintegrating West and a resurgent Islam, is what the prophetic fan of Oz Guinness has wisely designated Renaissance, or the power of the gospel, no matter how dark the times. It is crucial that the church be awakened from a diabetic coma that has been brought on, unfortunately, by a steady diet of fast food Christianity. And what that means is that the church must be energized for its mission by a power that is in it, but not of it. And the Apostle Paul made this clear when he said that those who are made perfect in Christ, they don't labor in their own energy, but with all Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in us. That passage, of course, Colossians chapter 1. Again, I've written about this in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the book available for those who support the ministry. If you want a personalized copy, please join CRI's monthly support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. We need many of you to do just that. Your support, prayerfully and financially, is what allows this ministry to reach around the globe. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go to the phone lines. First up is Denise. She's listening in Paris, Tennessee. Hi, Denise.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm very much in awe of your biblical knowledge, and I trust your answer to my question. And my question is, can a person who is using illicit drugs, will that put a person under satanic influence?
I'm having a hard time making out what you are asking, but I think you're asking about drugs used for recreational purposes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think we need to be very, very careful when we use drugs for recreational purposes. This has become an issue in the West, in that, in particular, in America, more and more states are allowing drugs like marijuana for recreational purposes. And I think the issue here is that a lot of people are undervaluing or underestimating the psychophysical problems with drugs like marijuana. And these problems include diminished cognitive function, memory, impairment, panic attacks. If that's not bad enough, we can talk about psychotic episodes, hallucinations, sleep deprivation, which is a huge problem, and of course, ultimately, dependence and a gateway to stronger drugs. There are, as I point out in the Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, there are also occult dangers that we ought to be aware of. And as a result of that, I would say collectively, this is not an area that we want to be involved in, and it is unfortunate that this is becoming more and more a trait within Western communities, particularly, as I said, within the United States. So it's a huge problem, and I think this is tantamount to sowing to the wind and perhaps reaping the whirlwind in decades to come.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gail. She's listening on the web, Viola, Texas. Hi, Gail.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Praying for you. Glad you're doing well. Just a quick question. Is Francis Chan a sound teacher? Been reading some stuff in social media that he's kind of gone off. And I'm reading a book of his called Crazy Love. So if you can just comment on his teachings, I would appreciate that.
Well, you know, my opinion of Francis Chan is that he's absolutely the real deal. I've spent some time with him personally. I'm very, very taken with his commitment to evangelism. He is not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk. And he's not only done that in foreign countries, but he's now doing that in places like San Francisco, where he's reaching out to the homeless and the downtrodden. And I think he is one of the gifted communicators, both in writing and in person in the church today. He's become an expert at harnessing the power of social media. And my personal interactions with him, and that's all I can go on, would tell me that this is a guy that I would say is the absolute real deal. I wish his tribe would multiply.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. The reviews on the book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, keep rolling in, and we're thankful for each one of them. One of the things you can do as you buy the book, read the book. If you love the book, make sure that you send us a review of the book. You can post those reviews on the web at equip.org, but also on other sites, including where you purchase the book. And of course, the book is available in bookstores everywhere. Again, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It is available now, not only through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We got a head start on everybody else for about a month, but now it is available in bookstores everywhere. It's also available for download and in audiobook. I've been listening to the audiobooks, in my car, and I'm enjoying it very much, even though I didn't read it myself. I didn't have the strength to do it at the time because of going through chemotherapy. And so someone else read it, but it's a great audiobook. So you can find that on the web at equip.org along with the hardcover book. And as I mentioned, the download. We are coming to station break. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply could not do what we do. And so for those that are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, I am sincerely grateful. For those that might be led by the Holy Spirit to standing with us, please remember you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You could also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. And a note that we not only do a broadcast, we now do a podcast. It's called Hank Unplugged. You can find the podcast at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcast, including iTunes. One of the things you can do is go to iTunes. If you love the podcast, leave a review and share the podcast with others. One of the podcasts I did was with Andreas Knopp. I tell you, I wanted to interview him on The Last Christians, but the interview is far more broad and wide-reaching than that. It was one of the favorite interviews that I've done. Yeah, so we have this conversation. You can listen into the conversation. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or, as I said, go to iTunes, and when you do, leave a review. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Do you remember the number to dial? 888-ASK-HANK.
Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today.
Again, that's equip.org/app.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Taking your calls live on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast starting Monday. We'll also be taking calls from social media platforms. All of that coming up this Monday. The big breakthrough as we not only do the broadcast, but also do the broadcast while live streaming on social media platforms. We've had, as I mentioned in the last segment, so many people writing in about the book. I'm surprised because the book has only been out for a short period of time, and yet the reviews are quite literally pouring in. Here's one by John, who writes, "Rejecting any pressure to be politically correct, Hanegraaff delivers a well-documented expose of the true nature of Islam. In true Hanegraaff style, the author uses acrostic-like chapter headings and alliteration to organize his material. These also facilitate remembering the material. Hank takes shots at officials of both Republican and Democratic political parties for their mischaracterization of Islam as a peaceful religion, and for their failure to recognize the dangers in perpetuating that belief. The book includes a detailed history of Muhammad based on a variety of sources going back as far as the 8th century biography of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. Many quotes from the Quran reveal Muhammad's lack of understanding of the Christian teachings. They also reveal ethical standards that most Americans today would find unacceptable. Hanegraaff in the introduction relates that he has met many peaceful Muslims. I was just looking, by the way, at a picture of a Muslim that lived in our home for a year, Saeed, and he was for his whole life a peaceful Muslim. Although after he did convert to Christianity, I had the privilege of baptizing him and discipling him. It was unsafe for him to go back to his country of origin. But anyway, John goes on to say, though there are many peaceful Muslims, what I point out in the book is that this is not what the religion teaches. You might say that these Muslims were non-devout. To those who find examples of so-called Christians behaving badly, Hanegraaff reminds us that they were not living up to the standard of love espoused by Jesus. In this way, you could say that a non-devout Christian is characterized by a lack of love, whereas a non-devout Muslim is characterized by a lack of hate. These are John's words, not mine. Of particular interest to me was the chapter on Sharia law. Hanegraaff emphasizes the fact that for the devout Muslim, there can be no separation of church and state. The church is the state. Despite the progress that has been made in the United States regarding equality of women, should Sharia law become the law of the land, that progress would most certainly disappear, and women would be worse off than they were before. This book is a must-read for anyone who is concerned about their personal liberty, Christian, and non-Christian alike. Thank you, John, for your review. I did want to take a question that has been coming up quite a bit recently, and it has to do with images. And I've heard this question not only as it comes in through various means to the Christian Research Institute, but people have been asking me this question in person. It is the question as to whether images of Jesus Christ are idolatrous. And so I want to broach this issue on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's talk a little history. In the 4th century, Emperor Leo III, he ordered the abolition of icons. He was against icons of Jesus, icons of Mary, icons of angels, icons of the saints, and so forth. And that sparked what was known as the Great Iconoclastic Controversy. And it was called that because those who supported the eradication of icons, often on the grounds that they violated the Second Commandment's prohibition of graven images, were known as, well, as iconoclasts or image breakers. And this controversy sparked in the 4th century, didn't stay in the 4th century. It wasn't resolved in the 4th century. In fact, this controversy continues to persist to this very day. So the question that I'm broaching on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast is, do these images of Jesus really violate the Second Commandment? And the answer to that question is threefold. The first thing I would say in response is, if the Second Commandment condemns images of Jesus, then it condemns making images of anything at all. And if that is the case, God would have been guilty of contradicting himself because, of course, he commanded the Israelites to adorn the Ark of the Covenant with the images of angels, the cherubim. You can see that, I guess, in Exodus chapter 25. But there's a second point that I think is equally important. The commandment is not an injunction against making graven images. Instead, it is an injunction against worshiping graven images. And so God warns, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So the issue again is not in making an icon. The issue is in worshiping an icon. So in Orthodox Christianity, you can venerate an icon, but you cannot worship an icon. And remember, this comes directly from the Word of God itself. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, an angel is showing John a vision. And John is overwhelmed by the vision, and so he bows down to worship the angel that is showing him the vision. And what does the angel say to him? Don't do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. Worship God. The third point I'd make in this regard is that if viewing an image necessarily leads to idolatry, well, then, of course, the incarnation of Christ was the greatest temptation of all. And yet Jesus thought it appropriate for people to look on him and worship him as God. That worship, however, has to be directed to his person, not to his appearance. Idolatry lies not in the making of images, but in the worship of man-made images in place of the image of the invisible God. The iconoclastic controversy was a controversy that lasted for a long time. We would like to say that it ended sometime in the first 1,000 years of church history. But the truth of the matter is, it has lasted to the present. So an 8th century controversy is a controversy that continues on with us today. And so many people are being accused of being idol worshipers. And I think oftentimes it's necessary in that regard to simply break down the stereotypes and to communicate clearly and cogently what is true and what is false. Because otherwise what we do is we end up marginalizing Christians when, in essence, what we've done is we've set up a straw man and knocked down the straw man, as opposed to dealing with the real issues. Another question I wanted to deal with on today's broadcast has to do with dietary restrictions. I think that the Lord Jesus said in Mark, and this is a question submitted through equip.org, Mark chapter 7, applies to this question, but I'm not sure because the context differs from actual dietary laws. In Mark 7, the Lord was addressing the issue of why the disciples were not ceremonially washing their hands before eating. And Jesus said, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body. What do you think?" And then a kind comment, "I thank God for your ministry." Well, here's the response. There's a quantum difference between enduring moral principles, like those regarding same-sex proclivities, for example, and temporary ceremonial practices relegated to a particular historical context. The distinction between clean and unclean animals symbolized something. It was the distinction between that which was holy and that which was unholy within the context of a theocratic kingdom. But the ceremonial symbolism of the law was fulfilled. It was fulfilled in Christ, who makes the unclean clean. And therefore, as the Bible declares, we are not to call anything impure that God has made clean. Jesus, of course, made this plain when he rebuked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for fastidiously holding on to what he called the traditions of men. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean?" said Jesus. And what's interesting is if you read the Gospel of Mark, you'll see a parenthetical statement. That parenthetical statement is where Mark clarifies the words of Jesus so that we cannot mistake them in any way. He said, in saying what Jesus said, Jesus was declaring all foods to be clean. So again, we have to make certain as we read the Bible that we read it in the sense in which it's intended. And this, of course, involves the art and science of biblical interpretation, known formally as hermeneutics. And I've got a flip chart on that, lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth, which you can find on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes directly from the Quran. You might think it an odd thing for me to make the quote of the day a quote from the Quran itself, but I think as I give you the quote of the day, you'll understand why. This is from Quran 4:34. Men are in charge of women, because Allah has made the one of them to excel the other. And because they spend of their property for the support of women. So good women are the obedient. guarding in secret that which Allah has guarded. As for those from whom ye fear rebellion, admonish them and banish them to beds apart and scourge them. Then if they obey you, seek not a way against them. Lo, Allah is ever high, exalted, and great. Now that's from the Pickthall version of the Quran. The same quote is in the Sahih International, which reads, men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other and what they spend for maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. But those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. Then, if they persist, forsake them in bed. And finally, strike them. But if they obey you once more, seek no means against them. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and granted. Hard to believe, but that is directly from the Quran, Quran 4:34. And what makes it ever more hard to believe is there are people like Tony Blair who say that unlike other Western leaders, he's taken the time to read the Quran and he finds it most noble, most enlightening, most trustworthy, and wonderful in terms of social mores. When you actually read the Quran for yourself, it's hard to understand how Tony Blair came to that conclusion. I also want to highlight something else that I talk about in my book, and I haven't really highlighted it on the broadcast, and that has to do with captives. And rather than simply giving you what the Quran says in this regard, let me give you some illustrations. Again, this comes directly from my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And the example that I point out comes from August 2014. In fact, 2 months after the fall of Mosul, which, of course, is the second largest city in Iraq, Muslim fighters, they captured Yazidi villages on the southern flank of Mount Sinjar in northern Iraq. And New York Times foreign correspondent vividly describes the horrors that unfolded in the aftermath of this conquest. Adolescent boys, they were told to lift up their shirts. And if they had armpit hair, they were directed to join their older brothers and fathers in village after village. The men and older boys were driven or marched to nearby fields where they were forced to lie down in the dirt and then sprayed with automatic fire. In other words, murdered en masse. But what happened to women, as well as children, well, that might truly have been worse. After capture, the Yazidi women and children were then divided according to the law as the fighters understood it. After 1/5 of the slaves were transferred to the Islamic State's authority, they were divided. The captives were sent to Syria or to other locations inside Iraq. And there, they were bought and sold for sex. One of the captives happened to be a 12-year-old Yazidi child, was then raped by a devout Muslim fighter who took the time to explain that what he was about to do was not a sin. Why? Well, because the preteen girl practiced a religion other than Islam. The Quran not only gave him the right to rape her, It condoned and encouraged it. And sadly, that little girl was just one of thousands that could be mentioned. But there's a precedent for all of this. This is modern 21st century history. But back in December of 627, it's about 5 years before Muhammad died, 1,400 years prior to the time that the Yazidi captives were raped and murdered in Iraq. Back in 627, again it was December, Muhammad and his fighters, they invaded the villages of the prosperous Banu Mustalik Jewish tribe on the shores of the Red Sea between Jeddah and Rabai. And is chronicled in Sahih al-Bukhari, by the way, an absolute credible source, considered so by virtually all Muslims. The Prophet had suddenly attacked the Bani Mustalik without warning, while they were heedless and their cattle were being watered at the places of water. Their fighting men were killed and their women and children were taken as captives. And as with the Yazidis, the Jewish men and boys murdered by Muhammad and by his Muslim hordes were spared the unthinkable atrocities their loved ones were about to suffer. Because in accordance with the law of Allah, many were raped and others sold as chattel. And though the Yazidi and Mustalik atrocities bookend nearly 1,400 years of Islamic history, their treatment of female captives was virtually identical. I mean, this is what I'm trying to say. We're talking about 1,400 years of history from the 7th century to what's going on right now in the Levant. Again, this is the bookends of nearly 1,400 years of Islamic history. Their treatment of female captives was virtually identical in the 21st century and in the 7th century. Why? Because as chronicled in Dabiq, what the Islamic State does in the 21st century is an authentic application of the teachings and the practices of their prophet. Here's how they put it. Sabi, taking slaves through war, is a great prophetic sunnah containing many divine wisdoms and religious benefits, regardless of whether or not the people happen to be aware of this. The surah is a witness to our prophet's rating of the unbelievers. He would kill their men and enslave their children and women. The raids of the beloved prophet convey this to us. Ask the tribes about this. And what's interesting about all of this is a lot of people do not consider the social media outlets, and they're very, very good at this, of the Islamic State. They are masters at social media. But the sad thing is their claims, more often than not, correspond directly to reality. They're highlighted in both the unalterable law of Allah and the life and teachings of Muhammad. Enslaving the families of the Kuffar, taking their women as concubines, is a firmly established aspect of Islamic law that if one were to deny or mock, he would be denying or mocking the verses of the Quran and the narrations of the prophet, and thereby they would be apostatizing from Islam. So again, these are not random kinds of events. The pretext, or actually the text, for these kinds of atrocities are found in the Quran and in the life and practices of Muhammad. And Muhammad is Islam's quintessential man. Every single Muslim, and that without any exception, swears allegiance to Allah and to the Apostle of Allah, Muhammad. Every single one. Now, having said that, many people within Islam don't understand what Muhammad stood for. But the truth of the matter is, what I have just communicated, particularly with respect to captives, is an accurate portrayal of the Prophet. Now, in the West, saying things like this is considered to be Islamophobic. But it's nothing of the sort. In fact, I would say it's Islamic phobia or Islamophobic to say it in a different way. It is unfair to misrepresent the practices of Muhammad. It's unfair to true Muslims. The practices of Muhammad are rightly chronicled in Sahih, sound sources that are considered authoritative by Muslims, both Shia and Sunni, and we shouldn't rewrite their history. That's unfair to Muslims. We ought to tell it like it is. It's precisely what I do in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For those who support the ministry all this month, I do remember Monday, we are adding the social media streaming. It's going to be a great experiment. Hope it goes great. I hope you join us. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity.
cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.